There's no one working in movies today quite like Steven Soderbergh. His debut film, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, pretty much launched the independent film movement 22 years ago. Soderbergh is still experimenting with idiosyncratic, low-budget art films, but then he swings back and makes big, commercially successful Hollywood movies. He's the only director ever nominated for two Best Director Oscars the same year, Aaron Brockovich and Traffic, and he won for Traffic. And actors like George Clooney and Matt Damon are regulars in his films. Next month, Damon stars in Soderbergh's new spy thriller, Haywire. I interviewed Steven Soderbergh recently in front of a huge audience of film lovers in Omaha. It was an event for Film Streams, the great local nonprofit theater where I'm on the board. I began by asking him how, after the huge success of Sex, Lies, and Videotape at age 26, his first movie, he dealt with the sophomore slump that lasted for most of the 1990s.
You can't do that today. You can't make two movies in a row now that people don't go see and get a job. So to make five films in a row that nobody saw, I mean, I was looking at a career of, you know, being in the art house ghetto for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so when Out of Sight sort of came up, and I went and kind of auditioned for it behind a lot of other people, I really wanted that job. I needed that job.
And now you can visit the art house ghetto just occasionally.
Yeah. I'm renting.
Yeah. Was there a downside to having this tremendous success young?
No.
None? Okay, check. Was there a moment later on when you decided, okay, I can't think of myself as this wunderkind anymore? I'm now a grown-up, and I'm not going to get by on precocity any longer?
Well, you know, the issue of to what extent anybody who works in this business sort of lives in the third person is always interesting. And you have to be smart about how you view yourself and your own work. Everybody makes mistakes. I hope and I try not to make the same mistakes over and over again. And I'm a big believer in not looking up from your work. Just stay focused on what you're doing and don't get distracted by the other stuff, which is why after Traffic, I haven't read any reviews or anything about my own work in 12 years.
Really?
Are you upset?
I'm not at all. I'm fascinated by the restraint and discipline that would require.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help me.
Yeah.
And that was the sort of perfect time to do it because that was the year of Aaron and Traffic, and it was the perfect time to just kind of go,
yes,
it's absolutely never going to get any better than this.
Yes.
You know, and it saves time. And
what are the, when you say you've made mistakes, what are the biggest mistakes you've made as a filmmaker?
I don't know if it's a mistake, but my sense is that the knock on me is that the films are kind of cold. With some exceptions, maybe Aaron, that the films are they're cold, they're intellectual, they're sort
liberal.
Of, yeah, that the sort of macro design of them kind of drains some of the emotion out
but
of
that's
them.
But then you're getting back to the third person. That's a criticism. That's not a mistake.
Well,
unless you consider it a mistake, or
I don't know how to address that because I can only make it the way I can make it. The reason Aaron Brockovich is a warmer, more emotional film is because that's the way she is. And I was trying to service her character. And so in that context, I was not afraid at all of the emotion that she was bringing. But I'm not willing to do anything to get a rise out of an audience. You know, I'd rather have something that feels human scale and not, that doesn't make you, the next day make you feel manipulated.
Yeah.
And so that may just be personal taste.
It seems to me you also, again, like an artist, are willing to fail and don't think, oh my God, if I make this movie and nobody sees it or people think it's weird or it gets bad reviews or whatever, it's all over. And that doesn't seem to paralyze you, that fear.
Well, I'm a process person. I'm not a results person. So when it's done, it's kind of done. And I've been surprised in both directions by the responses to films that we've made. And you can't get yourself into a world where you're second-guessing,
right,
where you're trying to imagine what someone will like. You've just got to make something you like and hope that other people feel the same. And at the same time, look, We just wrapped shooting on this film, Contagion, which was written by Scott Burns, who wrote The Informant. This came about because Scott Burns and I spent 6 months working on a project about the documentary filmmaker Leni Riefenstahl, who made documentaries for the Nazis, basically. And suddenly I just said, nobody's going to go see this. Like, literally, it's going to be me and you. And I go, I can't do this anymore. I can't spend 2 years making no money on something that I know no one is going to see. And I said, what else have you got? And he goes, well, I want to make a movie about a pandemic. I go, let's do that.
Yeah. Is that a different calculation at 47 and 48 than it was at 37 and 38?
Yeah, it's partially age, and it's partially, again, you know, it's a public art form. I mean, you want people to see them, even though you may look at some of my choices and think, I don't believe that.
On Studio 360 last month, I interviewed your friend and collaborator, Matt Damon, who I guess you just finished your sixth film with him, Contagion. And I asked him about this next one that he mentioned that he's working on with you, a biopic about Liberace, in which he plays, I guess, a lover of Liberace's. This part of my interview with him didn't air on the show, and I just wanted to play my question and his answer about why he likes working with you.
It's just a fascinating story. Richard LeGravenaise wrote the script, and so it's just great. And Steve and I, you know, I want to work with as much as I can. Obviously, I've done six with him now, and he says he's going to retire, and he means it. So he's interested mostly in kind of formally what he can do, and he's kind of exhausted just about everything at this point and feels like he's young enough that he could really devote himself. I mean, he's got an unbelievable work ethic, and if he applies himself, he has time to have a whole new career as either a painter or a photographer.
It's kind of amazing that he recalled the conversation that well, because we were both really drunk. And I mistakenly assumed that the level of inebriation would bring along with it a kind of entre nous.
A cone of silence?
Yeah, yeah. That being said, that's a very articulate description of something that took me about 20 minutes to say. But when you reach the point where you're like, if I have to get into another van to do another scout, I'm just going to shoot myself. It's time to let somebody else who's still excited about getting in the van get in the van. And so it's just time. For the last 3 years, I've been turning down everything that comes my way. So you're not going to have Steven Soderbergh to kick around anymore.
Yeah. And now you could run for president like the man who said that did.
Yeah.
It's as if you've had this really interesting 15-year run of straddling, of making Ocean's movies and these big movies and then doing these interesting artistic experiments to some degree. It's as though you've decided you don't want to do that straddle anymore and you're just going to go in the say goodbye to entertainment and say hello to art.
Well, it's a sense of just having been there before. The making of any art is just problem solving. And as you work at it, you're able to eliminate the versions that aren't any good faster. But at a certain point, the solves sort of become the same. And when I started feeling like I've done this shot before, I've done a scene that's about this before, that's when I started thinking seriously about, you know, a shift. But I don't want to leave. You know, when you see one of those athletes like hang on like two seasons too long, you know, it's kind of sad, you know, because then your last image of them isn't when they were great. It was kind of
texting sexual pictures of themselves. So. Yeah.
I think it was the Crocs that got me. Now. You know, I got two that I'm finishing and two more to make that people could go, you should have quit 2 years ago.
But it's interesting, but if you really are doing this and I take you seriously, it seems to me it will make these two really exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, especially to do Liberace with Matt and Michael Douglas and to do Man from U.N.C.L.E. with George, you know, that's...
George Clooney playing Napoleon Solo.
Yeah, that's...
Kids, it was a big show in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great way to sort of step off.
Can't wait. Steven Soderbergh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Steven Soderbergh's latest film is the Spalding Gray documentary, And Everything is Going Fine. His new movie, Haywire, comes out next month.